Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. I stopped here last week because there is so much in this 22nd verse that we sure did not want to rush through it. Hebrews chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 21 down through to verse 25. Hebrews 10, 21. It says, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today. Thank you, Father, for these folks that have come to hear your word and to listen and to grow, Father. It's so important, Father, that we do not miss the opportunity when we are here to be together and to not only hear your precious word, but also to be here to lift each other up and strengthen each other, Father, please. Just guide and lead us through this study. I ask, Father, as this precious scripture is so clearly stated, that we need to come by faith to you, be born again. We need to be covered by the blood. The sprinkling of this precious blood that's spoken of here is so clear, talking about the salvation that needs to come into the heart of each and every individual. But, Father, we know that you don't force anybody. It's a personal decision. We need to invite you in. And so, please, help, Father, each one of us to examine our hearts and do just that. Invite you in to save us. Show us your way and will today, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are so many things in this 22nd verse that each one of us need to see, and we're going to kind of take it apart, but I want to highlight these things first, and that is the first statement there is, let us draw near, till we need to draw near. The second is, we need to draw near with a true heart. The next, we need to come with full assurance of faith. The next, we need to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And the last, we need to have our bodies washed with pure water. So we've got many things. You see why I did not want to even begin that verse of scripture last week. Because of all those things, we need to draw near. We need to do it with a true heart. We need to have full assurance of faith. We need to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and we need to have our bodies washed with pure water. And so there are many things here that we're going to take a look at. And so I want you to enjoy it. I want us each one to learn from it. And when it says here at the very beginning, let us draw near, that is something that did not exist prior to the Lord Jesus coming to the cross of Calvary, because only once a year, many times they would bring an offering and bring a sacrifice, and they would watch that sacrifice be killed, and they would watch the body of that sacrifice be placed upon the altar and consumed, and they would watch the blood be sprinkled on the brazen altar. But only once a year could they come near to God, because that's the only time that they could come through the veil, And again, we've got two pictures up here. And the first is the courtyard, and the small little building in the background there is the tabernacle. The bottom building here is that building. And so it kind of gives you a blow-up, so to speak, of what it is. And I'm of the old-timers. We use a blackboard. We don't have a screen. We don't have the videos to show you. But as you see this, you realize that curtain, all right, we've got, again, the table of showbreads, the little box at the bottom. Above is the lampstand, and then over against the curtain is the incense altar or prayer altar. And you go through the veil into the Holy of Holies, and that is the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenant. Now, on that mercy seat is where they would sprinkle the blood seven times on the Day of Atonement. First, the high priest would have to go in on his own with the blood of the bullock, and he would go in and sprinkle that blood and confessing his sin prior to that. Then he was allowed to come back out, two goats, that's where the scapegoat name came from, but there was two goats. One of them became the scapegoat, and the other became the Lord's. The one that was the Lord's goat was the one that was put to death, and that precious blood was caught, and the high priest then would go through the holy place, the first room, and then through the veil into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle that blood seven times of that live goat. And then he would return back out of the tabernacle and come before the people, and he would lay his bloody hands upon that live goat, and he would confess the sins of the nation of Israel, and then that goat would be led up into the mount to never return again. What a perfect example of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, because he took our sins away if we come by faith to him. Now, that just happened once a year. To back up just a little bit, without the application of the blood, if Jesus would have never died on the cross, we would still be condemned, because the picture that we have in the tabernacle with the high priest is the applying of the blood, because you see inside the Ark of the Covenant is three things. Aaron's budded staff, that's a whole other story. The manna that they ate in the wilderness, another story. But here, the important thing is the Ten Commandments, the stone tablets. What Moses received up on Mount Sinai was placed inside the Ark of the Covenant. So you see, without the application of the blood, it is only judgment. It's only judgment. And so we have to apply the precious blood. And so the blood of this goat would go forward and be sprinkled on the mercy seat once a year, on the Day of Atonement. That's the only day. So when the Scripture says here, it tells us, let us draw near. We can do that. We can do that every day, all day long. We can draw near to the house of God. We can walk right into the throne of God. But back in the times of the temples and the tabernacle, they could only do it once. Only one time could they come into God's presence. And then it was just the high priest could do that. So not only is it just that individual, but because the Lord Jesus has become our high priest, because he has become our intercessor, we can go right to the throne of God by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's the picture that we have here. And so the first statement is, let us draw near. Let's do it, and let's do it often, because we can. Up until this time, we could not. We could not enter whenever we pleased. We know that there was a couple brothers that decided to go in with foreign fire, with strange fire, and they both drop dead. Only the high priest, only on the Day of Atonement, only after he went in with the blood of the bullock, only when he returned with the blood of the goat. That's the only time, once a year, that he could go in. We live in a time right now because we have become a peculiar people. We have become the priests of God. We can come and go right into the tabernacle, but we, because Jesus has replaced that curtain with his body and with his life, and he is alive, we can walk right through into the throne of God and speak to God the Father. Anyone that tells you that they talk to God the Father and they do have not invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into their heart to save them, if they have never done that, they are not speaking to God. They're speaking to their God, which is the devil. And they say, God hears me. No, he doesn't. There's only one prayer that is heard, and that is a prayer of repentance as you call upon the Lord Jesus. Up until that time, not one single prayer is heard. Nothing that you say is ever heard until you are born again, because you cannot get to the Father without going through the Son. The Scripture is so clear about that. And yet a multitude of people speak always about, oh, I pray to God, and I do. And if you'll notice here, we always, when you pray, how do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name, because that's the only way to get to the Father. And yet we can get right to the Father because and through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. Let us draw near. And so again, only the high priest could go once a year. Now we are invited to draw near, to come often to fellowship with him and be with him. And we need to come, as the next section here tells us, with a true heart. With a true heart. Now, a true heart is a sincere, dedicated, willing, obedient servant of God. Now, that's what that word means there when it says a true heart. One that loves the Lord Jesus, one that calls upon the Lord Jesus, one that comes to him with every hurt and every ache and every problem and every good news and everything that we have, because he is there. He's our most best friend, because he is always listening. He is always there. Now, you can have a great friend, but there's always going to be a time when you can't talk to them. You can't find them. And being an earthly friend, they're also in the flesh, so they're not always right. God's always right. So let's take it to him. And so when it says with a true heart, we need to come to him. We need to dedicate our life to him. We need to be obedient to him. We need to be sincere. In other words, he is the most important to us. Nothing else is more important, and again, to be an obedient servant of God. A true heart is a heart that is ready to hear the Word of God. A heart that enjoys hearing the Word of God. A heart that can't wait to come into the house of God to hear the Word of God. Can't wait to sit down and open your Bible and read the Word of God and let the Spirit of God speak to you. That is a true heart. One that loves God and loves listening and loves speaking to God and loves studying his precious Word. Ready to hear the truth, anxious to obey it. Can't wait to hear. Speak to me, Lord, because I want to do what you want me to do. That is a true heart. It's something that's not only outward, but it is a true worship of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives within your heart. It is a true and wonderful relationship with him. Let's go to Matthew 15, 8 and 9. Hold your place in Hebrews because we'll be right back there. But let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Verse 8 and 9. It's the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 15, 8 and 9. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. That's the church today. That's the church today. God desires worship and praise of the heart. Let's go to John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Very simple to understand. We are invited to draw near with a true heart. And then the next, come back with me to Hebrews 10:22, in full assurance. So we have to draw near, we have with a true heart, we've learned that, and now in full assurance of faith. What's full assurance? Full assurance is having an complete and entire confidence that the Word is right, that God is true. You don't question it when you read it. You know it's right. You know it's true. And we know it. We study it. We search it. We look to it. We want to know what's in there. We're hungry for it. We desire we hunger after the righteousness of God. We want to know what it says. And so we can't wait to come back and to be in the house of God with others. We can't wait to sit down and study the precious scripture. How can this single book, and no, we got thirteen hundred and fifty-three pages, and I have trouble reading, and so the only time that I read is when I want to know something. A lot of you people, you'll sit down and you'll read a book. You'll say, I enjoy reading. I don't. I don't enjoy reading. I struggle to read, but I read all the time. And the reason I do is because I want to learn. And when I pick up a book, it's not a book of leisure, and there's so many books to read and to enjoy, and I'm so glad that you folks enjoy reading. I wish I did, but I have to concentrate so much with my being dyslexic. I have so much trouble comprehending what I'm reading that I have to read it multiple times, and so I do just that. But when I am reading a book, and I do read other books besides the Bible, but every one of them is so I can educate myself, so I can learn. It's the only reason I read. And when I read and study the Word of God, but if you would go upstairs in my study, you would see many, many books. And I have read those books. Every book that's on the shelf, I have read. And then we come to the Scripture, to the Word of God. Now, those books are on the shelf because I've read them. I know what's in them. I don't read them again. They're on the shelf. How can anyone take this book that's 1,300, and I have read books that's been 1,300 to 1,500 pages, but I read them once and I put it on the shelf. I have studied this book. I have had the pleasure of teaching this book 3, 4, 5 times a week for close to 50 years. And you know what? When I open it up, I'm still learning. I didn't read this book and put it on the shelf. It was an uncle to my dad, and it was one of the few people that was saved in my family. Lived in Quincy, but the saddest thing is, every time they would come, and I would get to see him, been dead for many years now, but every time I would get to see him, he would say, "I read the Bible again. I've read it 5 times. I've read the Bible from cover to cover 5 times. But never one, that was lost. Never one time did he tell me what was in it." So you see, when you hear me say, I don't want you just to read the Bible. I want you to study it. I want you to search it out. I mean it. Because just to read it sometimes doesn't value much. You need to enjoy it. You need to let the Spirit of God teach you what's in it. And that takes time. And that's the reason that for almost 50 years I have studied and taught this precious book. And I am still learning. And it's a joy to open it up and be excited when you do that. And so my point is that as we draw near with a true heart, and as we come with full assurance of faith, I do not question what this book tells me. Now, other books that I've read, I think, I don't know if I agree with that. But when I study the precious Word of God and read this book, I'm in this book to learn. I want to know the truth that's in it. And I search it, and I study, and I think, boy, I wonder, as I look at that word assurance, what does that really mean? So then I get my concordance out. If you don't know what a concordance is, you need to get one. It's not an expensive book. It is a big book. And as old as most of us are getting, you'll need a magnifying glass because the print is very little. You have to see it. I opened up the concordance. I used it several times yesterday. I used it several times this morning. I want to see in the Greek or in the Hebrew exactly what that word means. I know what it means to me in the English language, but what's it mean? And many times it gives you a much fuller understanding of what that verse of Scripture says. I never study without having, I've got a Bible here, I've got a Bible here, and I got the concordance right here. And I'm always flipping through it. Always flipping through it. And this morning, I've said this many times, the first book I asked my folks to get me for Christmas was the concordance. And Mom was so sad that day because she had opened the box. She'd ordered it. She opened the box. And when she did, she had cut the front cover of it. Well, that's what she said. But to me, it's special. I got this. That's same one I use. I pull it off the shelf, and there's that knife cut right down the middle. And I know Mom did that, and she bought that for me. And so, if you don't have a concordance, Strong's Concordance, get one. It's a dictionary of every word in the Word of God. You use a King James Bible, you can open it up, you can find those words. And when I looked up assurance, it meant entire confidence. It means to have full knowledge. Full knowledge. Now, assurance may mean the same thing to you. But when I looked at that to just give it just a little bit more to understand. And so, full assurance of what? Of faith. Because you see, it's things not seen. It's things hoped for, but it's things not seen. That's where faith comes in. So we must have full assurance of faith. What we hear, what the Spirit of God teaches us, what His precious Word confirms for us. We need to know it, we need to enjoy it, and we need to stand with it. We are weak, but He is strong, as that beautiful hymn tells us. He shed His blood, He finished His work. We need to know it, we need to believe it, and we need to stand upon it. And then the next section here is having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. We're born in sin. We're born in sin. So one of the first things that we need to do is be born again. We need to be saved. We need to have our heart cleansed. Sprinkle the blood simply means the applying of the blood. What blood? Whose blood? The Lord Jesus' precious blood. One of the first thing the liberals take out of the hymn books. They not only don't speak of hell, they don't speak of sin, but they don't speak of the blood of Jesus. And if you look at the modern hymn books, those hymns are gone. They've taken them out. They don't want to hear it. God forbid that it would convict their hearts. And they would get saved. So the best way to do it is to rid yourself of any presence of that. But it's so important to us having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. Come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Got several verses of Scripture here. Some of them are here in right in Hebrews. It won't take you long to get there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21. We're back to the tabernacle. Hebrews 9:21. Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. That's 9:21. Now go to 11:28. Hebrews 11:28. Through faith, He kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, to kind of bring some of you up to date with this, to do the Passover, the very first Passover, they were to take the blood of the lamb and they were to put it on the two doorposts and across the lintel over their house. And then they were to reside inside that home. And so what a tremendous picture, being covered by the blood. And the death angel that night, this was the final plague that was to come across Egypt. And when the death angel saw the blood, I will pass over, I will pass over. And he does. That's the Passover, the very first. And they continued to celebrate the Passover for many years. They still do. And the Passover is the Lord Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is the one. That's the reason that we celebrate the crucifixion and the resurrection, is because it's connected with Passover. We don't know when Jesus was born. We have Christmas and December 25th, and that's the official day that Jesus was born. We don't know. We don't know that at all. But we do know when he was crucified, because he was crucified during Passover. And so it was a celebration that took place. The very first Passover was the one that they took the blood and they applied the blood, and then the death angel passed over. If not, the firstborn of people and of livestock died. And they, to show you how extensive this was throughout Egypt, the Word of God says that not one household that isn't touched unless the blood was applied. The blood was applied. A death angel passed over. It's the same thing with you and me. If we apply the blood of Jesus, trust in it by faith, that death angel has no control over us whatsoever. Yes, we'll face a physical death, but not anything that is spiritual. We will never die. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood of sprinkling, applying the blood of the Lord Jesus. And one more out of Hebrews here. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Says the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied by the blood of the Lord Jesus. One more point here, back in Hebrews 10:22. First, let us draw near, next with a true heart, next with full assurance of faith, next the precious sprinkling having a heart sprinkled from an evil conscience through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and the last one is, and our bodies washed with pure water. And our bodies washed with pure water. We're just going to barely touch this one because it has two several things to it. And so I'm going to say, number one, this is not baptism. We'll take care of that. This is not baptism. We should follow in baptism. When you're born again, we have a baptistry downstairs, and you go down into the water, and it pictures you and your old self. And then when you go down into the water, it pictures you dying with the Lord Jesus. Coming up out of the water pictures the resurrection. Beautiful picture of what's taking place in your heart. Nobody can see what's happened in your heart, but that is the example we have. Has nothing to do with salvation. It's something that we do because we want to show other people what has happened in our hearts. And so I want you to understand that it's this word here, our bodies washed with pure water. Now, the only thing I'm going to say, and we're out of time, and that is that the first section here is concerning salvation, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. That's what comes the day that you're saved, you're born again. The second part, our bodies washed with pure water, that's sanctification. That's the washing that needs to be done every day as we study God's Word, as we come together and fellowship together. Those are things that come. And so we'll begin right there, because I've got several verses of Scripture that will help you to see that it is concerning the Word of God. When it speaks of pure water, it is speaking of the Word of God. And we'll confirm that next week when we start there. So you can see, again, why I did not jump into verse 22 last week, because I didn't even get done with it this week. And so it's such a joy to study the precious Scripture. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your Word. You can take one single verse here, and it just takes care of our whole life. It tells us what we should be, who we should be, how we should get there, and then what we should do as we continue the rest of our life here, waiting for you to come to get us. Father, thank you. We didn't even get to the verses of Scripture concerning the assembly. Father, we'll find our way there. Thank you for your precious Word. Thank you for the time that we have together. And please, just apply it to our hearts. I ask, Father, that we do have a true heart, that we do have full assurance of faith, that we have been sprinkled by your precious blood. And then the time continues that we take your water and your Word and are cleansed by it, because we're still in the old flesh. Speak to our hearts now, Father, please. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.